on my heart to change. How about you this morning? What do you say? Amen? And we serve a wonderful God, an awesome God. You believe that? Let me hear you say amen. Amen? Good. Praise God. This morning, I invite you to turn to me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. In your Bibles, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And we'll be looking at the topic of listening. And in your bulletin, there's a little handout, and it says listening. So there's a homework assignment this week, and the homework assignment is this. If you can take this paper and maybe one text per morning, look up one text. You think you can do that? That's your homework assignment for morning devotions. Look it up, read it, meditate upon it, think upon it, study it, and as you look upon it, the Word of God will change you and change your heart and my heart, and I need my heart to change this morning. How about you, huh? Amen? Okay, so look at, read it. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and let's see what God says, has to say about listening. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, as your word is open, help us to listen to what you want to say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something about listening. People today are hungering for people who listen. Is that not true? No one's really listening out there. Everyone's so busy with their jobs, their careers, making it, making money, that no one's listening. And I'm seeing this more and more as I go out, I visit in the homes, as I shared, people are talking because I'm realizing no one's listening to them. And I feel that I'm like as I go around, I feel like I'm the only one listening. You know, there's people who are living in their homes, 7 years old, people, we go to Haleola, we're going to sing today, this afternoon, right? Their own children live in Honokaa, and they don't visit them, right? And they're sad, they're in tears, they're crying. No one's listening. I travel and I speak around different places. I went to Loma Linda University, and I was at this, somebody invited me over to their home, and invited a bunch of their friends, and I went to this home, and I remember meeting this one guy. This is so weird. I meet this one guy, I'm talking to him, and in 1 minute of my talking, and I'm not kidding, 1 minute, he said to me, "Wow, you're such a good listener." And it hit me. And I'm like, why are you saying that? And as I kept talking to him, and this, actually I don't talk, I just listen. You know, I always believe that 90% of the problems out there are solved by listening. So I just listen, and he said it again, 2 minutes into my conversation. "Wow, you're such a good listener." And you know what that said to me? It hit me that shows that I don't think I'm a good listener. I just talking story. But I realized this. Everyone's so sucked up into themselves and ego and pride and what they're going to do and they have no time for everyone. I realized this, that no one's listening today. And there are people who are hungry. And this is not an old person, 70s, who no family to talk to. This is someone in their 22. He's an established career person. He just graduated from dental school, okay? He's going to make a lot of money. This is somebody out there who is successful saying to me, "Wow, you're such a good listener." I'm not looking at the sense that I'm a good listener. I look at the sense that there are people who are starving for someone to listen. And what they're saying by listener, they're looking for someone who really, what they're really saying is, "I'm looking and hungering for someone who cares about me, who loves me." True? Amen? And people are starving out there. How can you be surrounded by thousands of people and tell me that no one's listening to me? How can you be brushing shoulders with people all around you in a large city? You know, we're in a country here. We have so much space around us. But we're surrounded by 10 times more people or even 100 times more people than we are, and yet no one is listening. Could it happen also, you think, in our own family? Do you think it could happen in our homes that maybe no one's listening? Do you think it maybe happened to you as a child that you felt that maybe dad was too busy for you and he didn't listen or care about you? Do you think it happened maybe when you were a child and mom was too busy? Maybe you're the one that raised up your children. You're the oldest and mom and dad had no time for you, so you raised up everyone else. And all your young, as a younger sibling, your older brothers and sisters raised you up. Where is mom and dad? Where were they? Partying? Working at the career to make it, Maybe making a lot of money, thinking that money will buy that love that you so long for in your heart, huh? Everyone, where is everyone today? And so I felt listening is important. So I'm looking at this text, and the Bible says here, this is the one thing about God. First John chapter, this is one thing about God. He hears, and in other words, he listens to us. What do you say? Amen? When no one listens, he listens. How do I know that? The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him. What's the confidence? This is it. That if we ask anything according to his will, he, what? Hears us. In other words, he listens to you this morning. What do you say? Amen? He listens, and not only listens, he cares about you. He's the only one that has the time. He really, really cares, and he listens about you. When the world doesn't listen to you and care about you, and there's such a hunger out there, he listens to you. When your own husband doesn't listen to you, he listens to you. When your wife doesn't listen to you, she don't understand, he listens to you. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, he listens to us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Look, verse 14 says, this is the confidence. What's the confidence? That he, God of the universe, who is so busy and so much more busy than your parents, he listens to you this morning. What do you say? Amen? He listens to you. That's powerful. I remember when I like Auntie Joyce's question this morning. It was very powerful. What was it that brought you back? You know what brought me back to God? It's one word, and that word is love. Love brought me back to God. And maybe I didn't see it in anyone else because I didn't see it in anyone else. Maybe a little here and there, but it was no person that brought me back to God. You know who brought me back to God? God. God brought me back to him without any humans. No human was there listening. No, I mean, there are people there a little bit listening, but there was no one there that was really there for me. And the only one who was really there for me, it was God. And God was the one that listened to me. And what I realized that, wow, there is someone out there who loves me. And that person's name is God. Not mom, not dad, not my best friends, but it was God. So God, I saw God out there and he listened to me, and I was going through problems, so I poured my heart out to him. And guess what? When I poured my heart out to him, he didn't say, hey, just tough it up and go get back to you, get work and get back to yourself and get life in order. No, no, he listened to me. And when he listened to me, man, that love changed me. That love transformed me. That love totally moved in my heart and changed me. That's how powerful God's love is, right? God's love is such that when you know that there's a God that cares and loves you and listens to you, man, that's powerful. And that's why there's a lot of messed up kids out there. And I can tell you story after story after story, same old story. No one cares for them. There's not that true love. And that may not be the soft, pansy-wansy kind of love. I'm talking even tough love. No one. I had a young kid just tell me recently, young kid, 20, mid-20s, came up to me, big guy. He told me, you know what? My parents don't love me. And he came up one weekend recently. He told me, you know what? I'm so sorry. I've been drinking a lot lately. And I said, you know what? Drinking is not your problem. Drinking is not your problem. He looked at me. I said, your problem is that you're dealing with your past, that you feel no one loves you. He goes, man, Pastor, you're so right. I'm trying to drink to medicate my pain that my parents don't love me. See, I don't look at it as like people get into trouble. Trouble is not the problem. You can do all your crazy stuff you want. That's just a sign that there's something deeper, and that's the heart. And the heart got to be dealt with. And when the heart is dealt with, the issues in the life, those will go away. What do you say? Amen? And God wants to deal with the heart. And when we deal with the heart, you know, of our children. Our children are rebellious. Don't deal with the rebellion. Deal with the fact that they're questioning whether you love them or not. What do you say? Amen? That's what God wants us to realize. Do we love our children? Do we love our people? Do we love our co-workers? Do we love our people who work under us? Do we love our students? Do we love our neighbors? Do we love our church members? Do we truly love them? Because love is a powerful force. And where discipline and will not work, where rewards will not work, love endures forever. What do you say? Amen? Love is the only thing that can heal, and love is powerful. This is the confidence that God listens to you and me. That is powerful. Now turn to the next text about God listening to us. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Notice the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Notice the Bible says, this is God speaking. Now notice what God says. God says, and it will come to pass that after they call, I will answer. Know what it says? What does it say? Before they call, I will answer. God says, before they call, before you call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, the word is still coming out the mouth and is not done yet. While yet they are still speaking, I will, what is that word? Hear. Sounds familiar, that word? Hear. In other words, I will what? Listen. Ah, we talked about a world that doesn't listen today, right? We're so busy with ourselves. Here, God comes to us and says, look, wait a minute. Not only were, this is the confidence that you have, that you talk and I listen. And I'm there for you. You have problems, I'm here for you. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to be there through thick and thin. I'm going to be there for you, right? I will listen. God goes one step further. God says, before you even call, I will listen to you. What do you say? Amen? In other words, even though you don't even talk to God, or before you even spit out of your mouth, guess what? God hears the deep longings of your heart before you even say the request to God and talk to Him. What do you say, beloved? Amen? That's a God, this my note. There is a God that loves you so much that He hears the deep heart longings of your soul this morning that no one else can hear. Maybe you don't even know what really burns in your heart and trials and hardships you experience and don't know how to get through them, but know this, that there is a God out there that loves you so much, He will listen to you and to me. Man, that love is powerful. What do you say? Amen? That love will change you. There's someone that listens, but He knows the deep. You can't even express it to your husband. You can't express it to your wife. You can't express what your thoughts are to your children or to your parents. But guess what? There's a God out there as you look out, and you don't know how to even express it to God Himself. The Spirit agrees your spirit, and He hears the groanings of your heart and the cries from your heart, and that is sufficient. And God says in His Word, you may not realize, but God hears your petitions this morning. And we serve a wonderful and a loving God. What do you say? Amen? And that's a powerful God here. God listens to us. There's something about that. You know, God doesn't want us to do anything first. He wants you first to experience a God who loves you, and a God who listens to you. Ah, when you experience that, something's going to happen. When you experience that God listens to you and God loves you, that's going to change your heart to want to love Him and to listen to Him also. God doesn't want you to love Him and listen to Him first. That's impossible. It won't happen. God wants you to experience His love first. And when you experience His love, then and only then can you listen. If that's clear, let me hear you say amen. Amen? So Samuel had that experience. So let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. And Samuel, you remember Samuel? He's a little boy. This is a young little boy. And he went to live with the high priest. What do you know about the high priest? He was the most spiritual leader in the Jewish church at that time, the most spiritual leader. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, he called and he went, well, let's look at 9. And he went to 9 and said, therefore, Samuel went to Eli and said, God was calling Samuel. And Samuel went to Eli and said, Samuel, Eli, are you calling me? And Eli said, no, go lie back down. It's not me. And then Samuel heard his voice being called again, Samuel, Samuel. So Samuel went again, and he went to Eli and said, did you call me, master? And then Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And then remember, he said, you know what, maybe it's God talking to him. So he said, go lie back down, right? And then it says here, verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. In other words, God called before, right? Samuel. Now I want you to notice that God had called before, but here was the Jewish church, and here was the in the temple, and here was Eli, the high priest, the most spiritual leader in the church, and here was a little boy. And somehow God was calling, but between the spiritual church leaders and the church members and the little boy, who was it only that was listening? It was the little boy. In other words, just because of the position, just because he was in the going to church, just because he was a spiritual leader, that does not mean that's automatic that you will be listening to. Amen? And as God called at other times, he was calling, God was speaking, but God had to bypass the church. God had to bypass the spiritual leader. God had to bypass the pastor. God had to bypass the church board, the elders. God had to bypass the church adults. And he had to speak to a little boy. You know why? Not because God said, hey, Sam, you're special and everyone else is not special. Not because God says, hey, look, little kid, you're special and all the church members, they're worth nothing to me. That's not what God's saying. What God is saying is that I'm speaking to everybody. But sometimes because of who we are, we don't listen to God. But a little child, that's what the Bible says, unless you become as a little what? Child, you will not what? Enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why do you think Jesus himself said that statement? Could it be possible that maybe we're not listening like a little child like Samuel was? So simple, so humble, so believing, right? How children are, right? They don't hold grudges. They're so loving, right? They're so kind, right? So innocent. They don't have hidden motives when they do things, right? It's so beautiful to see the faith of a little child at times. You look at your child, you think, wow, they're so precious, right? I just wish I had the innocence that they had. So beautiful. And so here was Samuel with that beautiful innocence of a child, and God was calling, and he wanted Eli to hear, but Eli didn't listen. He wanted the church to hear, but the church didn't listen. He wanted the pastor to listen, but the pastor didn't listen, right? So God spoke to a child. And then it says here, and notice what Samuel's response. Then Samuel, he answered. And notice how he answered. It doesn't say, then Samuel answered, Lord, listen to me, right? No, he said, speak for your servant, what? Listens. I'm going to listen. I'm not going to speak. I may have spoken already. I've gone to the experience where I've spoken and poured my heart out to you, God, and I realize that you're a God who loves me and you listen to me. But when you've gone to the experience where you've learned that God listened to you, it changes you. You know, that changed me. Maybe I'm a good listener now. You know why I'm a good listener now, I realize? Because I've learned to listen to God. That's what God wants you to realize. God wants you to learn to sit still and say, hey, God, I've talked enough. I know how to talk. I've talked enough. Now I want to listen to what you want to tell me. What is it that you want me to do today? How do you want me? What do you want to say to me? And sometimes God in the morning, he says some pretty harsh things to me in the morning. Before in the morning, I'm sitting there, and I'm just listening to God and praying to God, and he tells me, you know, you need to go and apologize to your daughter. He says some hard things to me in the morning. You know, you go and apologize to your wife. You know, you need to go apologize and talk. You need to go and talk to that person, and you need to make things right. You know, you need to send that email out. You need to unclarify what you said. God says some pretty harsh. Maybe we don't want to listen because we don't really want to hear what God wants to tell us sometimes, huh? Or maybe we're just too busy. I think I'm just too busy where, hey, look, I got my to-do list. I have a to-do list. And my to-do list has been there for 3 days, and it hasn't hardly moved, right? And I'm so busy. I have no time to sit and listen to God. And you know, actually, God has taught me that I waste more time thinking I can do things on my own than depending upon God. True? Amen? When we depend upon God, he just makes the day go by way faster. I lie in bed at night, and I go, man, there are days I lie in my bed, and I go, how in the world did I get so many things done in my today. I was amazed at how much things have gotten done. This is the days that I depend upon God. And then the days I don't depend upon God, where I don't tell me how to do things, man, it's like I feel like I get trouble just doing a couple of things. It just takes so long to do them. You know, things just don't work out. So God wants us to be listeners to Him. First of all, He wants us to know that He cares for us, and then He wants us to learn the next discipline, spiritual discipline, to listen to Him. And then the next text, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Right after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, chapter, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Notice what it says. This is God talking again, and He says this. Well, I mean, it's talking about God. And it says here, be not rash with your what? Mouth. Don't talk too fast. Don't talk too quickly. Don't be rash with your mouth. Don't mouth off, right? And let not your heart be hasty to utter or to speak anything before God. Don't condemn God and say, how come this happened to me? Why is this going on? Why am I going through these problems? Why am I going through these hardships? Why did my daughter have to get sick? Why I have to lose my job? Don't be hasty in anything that we do. We must depend upon that there is a God who loves you, even though you may not be able to explain everything. But know this, that there's a God who cares and listens and loves you, and He's going to work things out, and it may not be according to how you think, but God's going to work it out for your good, because He does love you. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen. Amen? He's going to work it out. I know we're going through trials. I know we're going through hardships. I know people are suffering. The economy is not doing too good. I have another member in another church, and they're going through financial struggles. They already lost their home. And they have a little girl. So sad. Little girl who goes to the school. And they lost their home. And they went to court. And it was because they had an attorney, took advantage of them, malpractice. And it was a local family, trusted them. And this attorney took advantage. They lost their home. It wasn't their fault. And so here they are. And then if another attorney said they could help them, and 2 weeks ago, they went to the court, and the judge said, you need to be out in 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks is this coming Wednesday. And we wonder, how in the world, how can God allow this kind of thing? And they were questioning the same thing, questioning. How can God do this? How can God allow this? You know, God did not do this. There's someone else in this whole big, great controversy, and guess what his name is? His name is Satan, right? And last I checked, Satan is not dead. Satan is out there, and he's a liar. He's a murderer, right? And he came to kill and to destroy, right? Do you believe that? And he's out there, and he's the one creating havoc. And the second person is out there. Besides, before God gets all the blame, okay, I'm putting you before a court of law. Before God gets all the blame, first of all, there's someone out, Satan, that's doing all this wicked and evil, right? Second of all, there's someone called human beings like you and me who allow the freedom to choose right or wrong, right? Every time you decide, do you think the murderer, when he pulled out his shotgun and was going to shoot it, God came down and grabbed the shotgun and pulled it out of his hand and said, nope, you cannot kill today. You think that happens? No, God does not force, because you know why? Love never forces. Amen? That is not love. Love always allows, gives you the freedom to choose. Right? That's why it's like if I controlled my daughter, controlled my wife, that is not love. Love grants you the right to choose to love me or not to choose to love me, right? That is love. Love grants you the freedom. You don't want to be told what to do, right? You want to live the life that you have chosen. Even though you make bad decisions, love is to grant you the right to make those decisions. So besides, no, I know God gets all the blame today, but God is not the one to blame. It is Satan to get the blame. But again, it's not only Satan. We can't say the devil made me do it, right? Who made you to do it? You made it to do it. You made the bad decisions. I made the bad decisions. I made my bad decisions. I got angry. I got out of control. I wasn't responsible. But guess what? There's a God, in spite of our irresponsibility, still works things out for good. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen? Trust in God. Depend upon Him. Look upon Him. He will work things out. He's a loving God. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen. Amen? I would like you to pull out your hand out here. And this is something we're going to read through and go through. It's on your bulletin. There's something called listening. There's a quotation here I thought was very inspiring to me. I want to share with you from the Spirit of Prophecy. I thought it was very powerful. And it says this: all who are under the training of God need the quiet hour for communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. In other words, we need that hour where we commune with, an hour it says here, with our hearts, because we got to know, where are we? Where am I going? How is my past? What is my purpose right now in my life? Where does God want me to go? What does God want me to do? You need to commune in your own heart. Decide, what is it God wants to teach you? How do I help my daughter who's rebelling at this time? How do I help my wife? Help us to have a better relationship. We need to commune with our own hearts, right? And then it says, with nature. I love to look at nature and the beauty. And God speaks to me through His beautiful creation and nature and with God. And listen to God. It goes on. In them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its custom, or its practices. And they need to have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. That our lives is not in harmony with the world, but we want to know what is God's will for my life? What is His purpose? What does He want me to do in this world? That's what we need to ask. We need to discover a purpose for my life and your life. What is it that God wants you to do? That should be always on your mind. We must individually hear. Sound familiar? Or listen. Hear Him speaking to the heart. Hear those words burn within your heart and your soul. When you know you hear those words and you know that it's right, right? Sometimes you hear like a message, or you're reading the Bible, it hits your heart. When you listen to a sermon, sometimes it just hits your heart, it burns in here, right? And it just burns because you know it's true, and it's something that you know that you need to do. You ever experienced that before? And that's where the Word of God comes, and it speaks to your heart. When every other voice is hushed, and in quietness we wait before Him, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. In other words, God speaks in silence. Is that not true? I remember those times I used to go to the bars, and I remember the time I used to go to the clubs. And I remember, just coming home, and I was all by myself in my room, and just sitting there. You know, silence is painful. Did you know that? It was painful to me. Because in silence, I try to drown out all my pain by whatever it was to drink and to get on drugs, to drown it out. But you know, when you go back to your room and it's all quiet, guess what? The problem is still there, burning at your heart, poking at you. And guess what? You can hide from your problems. You can run from your problems. You can medicate yourself from all your problems. But guess what? It's still there. And you can try and drink away your problems. You can drug away your problems. You can sex out your problems. You can do whatever you want. You can eat away all your problems. Yeah? Medicate your pain. You can do whatever you want. But guess what? You cannot run away from the pain and the hurt and the suffering that your heart feels. And there's only one thing that can reach your heart. And that one thing is the love of God. And that love will come, and it's going to grip your heart, and it's going to heal you of your pain, and then you're no longer going to need to eat food to soothe the pain that's within your heart. You're no longer going to have to drink up the beers to help to soothe the anger that you had being raised up. No longer going to need all these drugs so you won't have to think about coming home to a house that you don't want to be at. Why? Because you have the love of God in your heart. That's why. And that love is going to change you and transform you. Then it says here, He bids us be still and know that I am God. This is David's from Psalms. This is the effectual preparation for all labor for God. Before we labor, listen to God. What do you say? Amen? Amidst the hurrying throng and the strain of life's intense activities, In the middle of this crazy world, he who is thus refreshed will be surrounded with an atmosphere of light and peace. He will receive a new endowment of both physical and mental strength. His life will breathe out a fragrance and reveal a divine power that will reach men's heart. In other words, in the midst of this crazy world that's so intense and everyone's busy and everyone's so stressed out, guess what? If there is a life out there who's walking around with power enough to control yourself, where you are peaceful and you have peace in your heart, in the midst of craziness out there, people are going to notice, and that power in your life is going to change them. When they see that you have something that they want or they don't have, that power is going to change, make them desire to have what they don't have in their life. And that's what God wants you to experience, that in your life, in my life. James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19 in your Bibles. Please turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. So the three steps I want to present. First of all, we have a God who hears and listens to us and loves us. Second step, after we realize that God loves us, we love him back and we listen to him, what he wants us to do. And then the third step, and it goes in order. You can't switch up the steps. The last step is this. We then listen to others. You cannot say, I want to be a good listener, and force yourself to be a good listener. It doesn't happen. You have to follow the correct steps. And the steps is, let God listen to you. Learn how to listen by the... See, he leads by example. He teaches you how to be a good listener first. And then we listen to him. And then we listen to each other. How do we know? James chapter 1, verse 19. See, these steps is true. James said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to, what is that word? Hear. Sound familiar, that word? We've been talking about it all day, right? There it is again. Let every person be swift or quick to what? Listen. Listen to people. People are hungering. Not only back then 2,000 years ago, but God is saying today in a world that is so busy, it's so crazy, God is saying to us, you and me this morning, you need to be a listening ear to people who are out there, who need an ear to listen. And it says here, let everyone, 19, swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, I'm guilty. Sometimes, you know, I play that game where sometimes people are talking and I try to guess what they're going to say and I cut them off and I say what they're going to say. Sometimes I get it right, right? But sometimes I get it wrong. I say, no, that's not what I'm saying, right? But we're so quick to speak. And God wants us to be people who will be quick to listen. Quick to listen. I think of my daughter this morning. And God was teaching me this morning that I needed to listen. You know, God's been changing my heart where I know that I want to have my daughter obey me because she loves me. Not because she's afraid of me, and not because I'm rewarding her, but because she loves me. Because it's easy, that everyone, the world's way is that they do what is right because they're scared to get spankings. You know, it's good to start off that way, spanking. But the ultimate goal is that you want your children to obey you because they love you, and you won their heart. Amen? Because when they're 18, 20, guess what? You can't spank them anymore, right? And they run away from home. You know, the reason why they run away from home is because they never felt loved at home. I don't blame them. Why would I want to live in that home? Why would you want to live in that type of home, right? I don't blame all these people who run away. I don't blame them. Why would you want to put them in a horrible environment like that, right? Let them run away from home. It's safer out there. Sometimes it's safer out there, right, in the world. Sometimes it's safer out there in the world than it is in a church. You know, I think the security and the love out there is stronger than in the homes that's seen out there. So, you know, God's been really disciplining me about how I need to raise my daughter. Disciplining, I like that word because I know I need it. So here, and God's teaching me about my daughter, and you know, I realize as a parent, I need to win the heart of my daughter. I need to win her heart. So that when she obeys me, she wants to obey me. Not because she's scared she can get spanking, right? Especially when she's getting older. And not because I'm going to reward her so that she'll be good. Those are external things, right? Because the moment you're not there and there's no external punishment, they're going to do what they really want to do in their heart, right? That's why when children leave the home, they go crazy. Why do they go crazy? Because the inside is not warm. They're scared on the outside by spankings or by rewards that you give them money or you take them to the beach, right? That doesn't work. Fear works, but not for eternity. It works for a little while. It always fails in the end. You see it, I can tell you, I can see a family and I can see how they, you know, discipline, and I can tell you where the children will be 20 years from now. I can tell you that when they get older, they're not going to go home and visit their parents. I can tell you the ones that when they go into the institutions and the elderly care centers, I can tell you the ones who that they're not going to visit you when you're old and all by yourself and lonely. They're not going to visit you. Why would they want to visit you? When they're more happy away from all that, they're more free, they feel more love outside, why would they want to be there? And I'm asking these questions because that's the same questions God was asking me. This has been a journey in my walk with God and my walk with my family. And this is a hard lesson, but it's a hard lesson I had to learn. This morning I asked my daughter, and I said, I know that love is the only thing that would keep her to want to be with me and to be with my family. And I asked her, I said, Anya, was there ever a time in, did you ever feel, no, I asked her, first of all, before I went there, I said, do you know that Daddy loves you? She goes, yes. Do you know that Mommy loves you? Yes. She always said that. That's the easy part. Then I asked her, did you ever feel a time where you felt that Daddy didn't love you or Mommy didn't love you? That's the question. Because it's, and no, she has the right theology, because I teach her the right theology. I tell her, Anya, it doesn't matter what you do, Daddy loves you. If you're good, Daddy loves you. If you're mean and evil, God, Daddy still loves you. Do you understand that? Yeah. Even if you're naughty, does Daddy love you? Yeah. She understands that. In her mind, she understands. But you know what? Our actions is totally different, right? We can even understanding theologically correct the right way, she understands. She's the gospel, she understands the gospel. Because that's how God is with us. God loves you even if you're wicked. What do you say? Amen? That's the gospel. But we may preach it, but we may not be living it, right? Amen? And people are looking for us to live it with each other. So I asked her the question. I said, has there ever been a time? I'm not asking for the right answer, but has there ever been a time where you felt that Daddy didn't love you? Even though in her mind she knows that Daddy loves her no matter what. You know what she did? She put her head down. Put her head down. All the right theology doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what she knows. She put her head down. And I already knew there was something. And I said to her, what was it? Do you feel that Daddy doesn't love you? In her mind, she knew. But she said she felt there's a time that Daddy didn't love her. And I asked, when was it? She said, well, she's about almost 8. Next week, she turns 8 in a couple weeks. She said, well, when I was about six, I felt that you didn't love me. And I said, what is it that you feel that we don't love you? And I said, well, when you and Mommy get mad, angry at me, that's when I feel that you don't love me. And when I did that, I said to Anya, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you see that. I said, we're wrong to get angry at you. We love you. We love you so much. And, you know, please forgive me. I ask for forgiveness from my daughter. You know, I always ask forgiveness from her. Please forgive me. You know, it's one thing that you can know the right answers, right? But what really matters is how you live in your life. Yeah. And you know what? Your children may know all the right answers, and you may teach them the right answers, but guess what? We better live the right answers. What do you say, huh? Amen? We better live the right answers. Now I want God to change my heart because I want him to use me. What is the point if I save 100 souls and baptize them and my own daughter is lost? What's the point if the church grows 18 years from now when my daughter leaves? Yeah? What's the point 50 years from now and you're successful in everything you've done and you look back in your life and you're very successful, but you look back and you're all by yourself? And then what? Yeah, nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about, no money to spend, all that money to spend on nobody, right? All those plaques on the walls and those trophies you won that's just sitting there collecting dust, no one to share them with because everyone don't want to live where you live. What a sad day that would be. And you know what? I'm telling the same story that happens over and over and over again. This is not just an isolated story. I can tell you story after story after story that this is happening over and over and over again in this world. And you know what? We don't have to go far. You know, we can even in our own church. And we can go in our own homes, and we can go into your home, and we can go into this church. We don't have to go that far. We don't have to look in the community. Oh, how horrible it is out there. No, we have to. We can just stay here right in this church, and we know that this is true. And you can see the effects of it. You can see how children don't want to be with their parents. You know, if we don't want to be with them when they're younger, why would they want to be with us when they're older? God wants us to listen. I want to be a listening ear. How about you? Amen? And it starts with us in our walk with God. Let us have a relationship with God, and then God will help us to have a relationship with him. We have a wonderful Savior here this morning.